Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PBD cast. I'm your host, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 137. And as I alluded to on my last mini episode, it's time to talk about the Survivor Series. That's right, my rowdy friends, Ringside Rand and DJ Joey Blaze, are going to stop by, and we're going to give our thoughts, our opinions, and our insights on the upcoming WWE pay-per-view Survivor Series. And I know, I called it SummerSlam in the close of my last mini-episode. I don't know why I did that. I don't know why I got confused. Maybe it's because of the double S, SummerSlam and Survivor Series. But we're talking about Survivor Series, which has always been a favorite of mine. You know, I remember as a kid, I would count down the hours until the Survivor Series. That Thanksgiving Day, I would have a little poster board and I would count down until it was time for the Survivor Series. And a few times I got to watch it, not every single year, but a few times I got to go to a relative's house that had a satellite dish and got a chance to watch it. But for me, it was always a favorite of mine. You know, whether it was teams of five strive to survive or teams of four look to settle the score, either way, I always enjoy the Survivor Series. So, Joey, myself, and Rand, we're going to talk about it. It looks like it's going to be shaping up to be a very interesting card. So, real quickly, I do want to mention, now I've been a little bit lazy that I have not yet watched the Ric Flair documentary, and I'm very, very, very interested in watching it, but I just haven't had 2 hours of the day to kind of carve out to watch it. I'm looking forward to it. I've kind of stayed away from any review of it. I didn't want to be told. I've had some friends just tell me it was really good and I got to watch it and I need to get on that. It's got to go on the to-do list this weekend to catch up and to watch the 30 for 30 on Ric Flair. But nonetheless, ladies and gentlemen, let's go ahead and thank a few people real quick first. And I want to thank once again Anna Hetzel. I mentioned her on the last episode about how helpful she was for me. I'm not a numbers kind of guy, so all the data that I would get for the PBD cast was mind-boggling for me, and she helped me understand it, and so I appreciate that, and so I'm going to give her a plug. If you're somebody that wants to get your product or your project noticed, Anna is the person to see. She's a content marketer, she's a copywriter, she's a brand strategist. She has a great website, annafhetzel.com. That's annafhetzel.com. And if you didn't catch that, just go to pbdcast.com under the links tab. I put a link for her website. But she can help you get the most notice and the most eyes on your product or your project. However you want to say it, definitely check her out. Anna's top notch, and I really appreciate her help. All right, and with that, let's also remind you, the listener, that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PBDcast. Audible has over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. And for you, the listeners of the PBD cast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you an opportunity to check out their service. So since we're talking about wrestling, maybe you want to check out some great wrestling books that they have, including, as I mentioned before, Hardcore History, the extremely unauthorized story of ECW by Scott E. Williams. You have some biographies by Justin Roberts, Chris Jericho, or the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels himself. They got a lot of wrestling stuff. So if you're a mark like I am, or a mark like Rand or Joey, and I think it's safe to say that I can call them marks. But anyways, if you're a mark for wrestling, Audible has a book for you. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. And again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're thinking about checking out Audible and you want that free trial, put in that promo code PVDcast for me. They'll help kick back a few bucks to this podcast so that I can invest that money in this podcast and make it even bigger and better. So with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and myself, we all sit down and talk about the Survivor Series.
It did, but I'll cut it out.
That's the best part, right? He just whispered he didn't put it over the table. They probably want to know what goes on here.
We're talking about Ringside Rand putting his gum under the table, ladies and gentlemen. And
oh.
Welcome to PVDcast number 137. DJ Joey Blaze, how are you?
What a great intro by that Ringside. That was something about being under the table.
And of course,
I use the old trick of in the movie theater with the popcorn bucket, but that's a whole
thing. Anyways, and Ringside Rand joining us.
Trying to be a gentleman, getting rid of my chewing gum. Yes. I had two options.
The trash can or under the table.
Speaking of that, this is totally off kilter. It's going to go all the way off script. We're 30 seconds in. So this weekend, I just want to put it out there because it's really gross but funny. I got some furniture for my brother. We're moving some stuff around. And I get this coffee table. Which is cool. Like, I like to have a cool little coffee table. We all do when you know.
Sure.
And he points out something to me as he's giving it to me. It's like, I just found this out that I guess it'd be his step-grandchild.
Okay.
It used to be like in their room or whatever, something uh-huh. like that. Yeah, we turn it over. I have to take sandpaper to it. He was taking his boogers.
Ew.
Underneath said coffee table.
That's gross.
Now.
It's a kid.
But that's still gross.
Like, what kind of level of gross is that?
Well, it's not as gross as saying, I don't know, having sex with a cat, Marty Jannetty.
Yeah, that's definitely a crazy party with Marty.
That's right.
Or your former potential ex-daughter.
Whatever
that relationship was.
For the folks that are listening at home, we just researched another great Facebook post from Marty Jannetty, who was claiming that, number one, the news story about him wanting to have sex with his daughter was, quote, fake news, end quote, and he stated that he just had sex with his cat. So, is this a cry for help?
I don't know what it's a cry for, but some sort of weird crying. I'm sure that cat cried pretty loud. Hey, but he can always say, last night he got some pussy.
Yeah.
I'm crazy guys.
Yes. All right. We're actually here to talk about the Survivor Series.
I'm pumped.
I know. So am I. I'm excited.
We've sat through some less than average pay-per-views lately. We're due.
Oh, yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
Well, this to me... And I know I dog Survivor Series on a previous podcast.
Yeah, I know.
But, man, I think they're really starting to build. Rumble used to be the build for Mania. But I have a feeling that we're going to start the build Sunday with Survivor Series. And we'll talk about that as we kind of go through the card and kind of some of my opinions on it. And so I'll let you kind of...
Well, real quickly, I do want to just mention that it is fitting that we're recording this episode here on the 15th of November because it is, of course... Macho Man Randy Savage's birthday. If he was alive today, he would be 65 years old.
Probably still doing a better job than some of the guys.
Yeah. I would have liked to seen him do like an AARP commercial. Oh. Yeah, dig it.
Or what's the one that Alex Trebek does for like...
Oh, Colonial Penn Life Insurance. That would have been sweet, man.
I'll tell you what, I think that's one of the top three deaths that hit me in wrestling.
Yeah.
To be honest with you.
Yeah. Probably.
Yeah, because he was still an active wrestler, even though part-time. It's not like seeing somebody who hadn't wrestled in 20 years dying. It was somebody
TNA
active. Yeah,
I agree.
I guess what I put top three would probably be him, Eddie. I don't know where I put a third one because there's been so many.
I can think of two that would go to the top of the list. Obviously, Owen and Benoit.
Yeah, but I mean, that actually, like, I was being a wrestling fan, being super fans, then it upset me. But I think that I probably, the three I shed a tear, would be Randy, was Dusty. was the other, even though, you know, because it was still kind of out of left field. And the one we knew it was coming at some point, and just kind of blew me away because I was such a huge mark, was Bobby Heenan.
I will go with, I also go with Owen Hart because I watched that pay-per-view live, and that kind of fucked me up a little bit.
You might have been at Durand Arena for that one.
I don't remember. I know I watched it live, too.
So that one bothered me. As a kid, Bruiser Brody's death died because, again, I was an ultra mark for that dude. And the news of that really made... It didn't make me cry, but it made me feel very, very weird because I didn't understand... Because it's that era of kayfabe. And so you're like, well...
Did he really die?
Right. It left me very confused in that, like, is he really dead?
The whole Owen thing, too. If you think about it, everybody thought that was a work.
True.
And if anybody would do it, we always thought Vince would. And obviously, it would have been in bad taste. But yeah, Owen's up there. I was a fan, but I think... And Eddie was up there. But I guess just after a lifetime, I think that would be my top three that really got to me.
And I'll throw Savage in as number three, because that one clearly shocked me.
I can still see the whole scene in my head. Which is weird.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the pictures from the scene with the Jeep and with, you know.
Yeah.
I was starting to sound like Bill Cosby with the Pudding Pops. And I guess it's all this thing that's going on in Hollywood right now with all the...
Well, hey now.
Hey, I tried to happen to meet backstage. I told you that barista that you had to fire, she was always kind of handy with me.
She was very sexually harassing.
So, yes. But I came out about it early. We got that situation.
We did. Mm-hmm.
What was her name? Sue Flay?
Sue Flay. That's right.
Was it Bobby's distant cousin?
Distant cousin, yes. Yeah, very, very distant.
She made me feel very uncomfortable.
Let's get into the Survivor Series. That's what people are tuning in to hear, our opinions, our insights. Actually, they're probably also tuning in to hear our hijinks as well. But anywho, so first of all, let's set the table a little bit that Charlotte won the SmackDown Women's title last night on SmackDown. Were you surprised by this?
Personally, yes. I think... When you tie in the 30 for 30 we had, so all this mainstream Ric Flair stuff, everything that happened to mainstream, and it happened to me in Charlotte, North Carolina, if I was a betting man, I'd bet on wrestling, which I didn't realize you can do that some places, which is weird to me. I would have put it all down. I bet the house on Charlotte last night, of course, because of where they were at.
Ren?
Unfortunately, I got a spoiler ahead of time.
Oh, some insider information.
I wouldn't call it insider. There's that darn internet thing.
Could you call 1-900-909-9900? Is that what you call?
It's a shame that you remember that phone number from how long ago?
I remember several 900 numbers, to be honest with you. Trixie, if you're out there, you can tweet me. It's fine.
I wasn't surprised because, as I mentioned off air, I felt like Natalia versus Alexa Bliss was too heel on heels. And I think there's been too many heel on heels, as I use air quotes that no one could see.
I saw them.
Yeah, well, you saw
them. I saw them too, I don't understand why we have makeup before we do this, because nobody sees us. Anyways.
Well, you know.
I sat in makeup for 20 minutes tonight. I think, is that a joke that you're trying to pull on me or something?
It's a rib. Okay. It is. It's a giant
rib. I'm still trying to find valet parking.
Hey, there had to be cutbacks. That's all I can say. There had to have been some cutbacks made, and I had to make the hard decisions.
I'm with you, John, and here's the thing. I think it lacks star power. You talk about the whole heel and heel, I think.
And
I'm a huge fan for Natty. Don't get me wrong, I love Natty. Like,
she's gotten stale, though. Come on, Joey, exactly.
She's gotten stale, and, you know, and that kind of, you have these two personalities now, because Charlotte, she can be such a bitch, and Alexa is the queen of all bitches. So I think, I wish it would have had more time to build up, though, because I think you really could have had some fun with some promos. So I think we're going to see a good promo Sunday night, maybe, between these two, which would be awesome. I love a good female wrestler promo.
Is there a chance that this will be the first of many between those two, even though they're on different red and blue shows, that there could be...
I'm sure there's a feud there in the works down the road, especially if they keep going the path they're going. Because I think Alexa just keeps getting better and better and better, in my opinion. Yeah. And Charlotte, she's not going anywhere. You know what I'm saying? So I think it's a nice way to set up. Maybe this might be like a female version of a Cena and Randy that they can have a nice feud that starts somewhere and just kind of builds up over the years.
Yeah, and I also think, too, that there has to be, if you're really being honest and you look at the female division on both of those shows, there needs to be a shakeup. I feel like the talent level is concentrated in just two or three of the wrestlers on that roster. And then,
and you bring that up, and I hate to go off, I go off killer. Anyways, so the whole talk this past Monday was Paige was backstage at Raw. Raw doesn't, they're okay with their roster, in my opinion. I would have sent Emma over to SmackDown and brought Paige to SmackDown, and that really would have shot the arm of the SmackDown women's division. I think that would have been a just as good shakeup, in my opinion, because there's not a lot. Charlotte has this title. Who's she going to feud with now? That's believable. That's a really good feud.
True.
I mean, Becky, that's her friend now.
Yeah, right.
They're going to sip their tea together. So it's going to be interesting to see where, I don't necessarily think it's a shakeup. I just think they need to, because Raw, they got Asuka now. And they're talking about bringing in Paige, but, and I like Mickie James, but they let her, kept her, and they got rid of Emma. So I don't know. I don't understand some of what they're doing. Hey, that's why I'm sitting here doing this podcast, I guess, and not in a position somewhere. Not that I'm dogging this. This is very fine.
Even with the cutbacks and staff.
As you can tell, I have a pretty deep opinion on the soapbox. But anyway.
Is there when are we likely to see personnel movement? After the Rumble?
Oh, I say after the Rumble, yeah. I would certainly say that would make sense.
Before Mania, right? Usually after Mania.
But I think that they may start trying to put some of the pieces to the puzzle to make a really good WrestleMania, being back in New Orleans. I think that they probably will start tweaking a few things. I don't think it'll be a major shift, but I think there'll be a few people being switched around.
If you move one or two people.
Yeah, and that's all you need.
Make a lot of fresh, yeah.
Yeah.
But to go back to the match and going back to Paige, I think, and I was talking to somebody about this today, I think Paige is going to either be involved in this match or the Survivor Series style match, but she's going to make her presence known at the pay-per-view, and in whatever way decides to bring it, she goes, it's going to end up. But if it was just that there was no interference, just to make things interesting, I'm going with Alexa.
Okay, yeah, for this particular, because again, no titles are on the line, by the way. This is just sheer superiority, which brand is better, that's it. As I think that was clarified this week or last week? I don't remember. Was it clarified?
Well, the whole, I don't know. Sometimes they don't clarify anything until you're in the middle of the match.
That's true. Okay.
Raw, where they didn't know what the hell was going on.
So. And it appears the whole thing is about the McMahon family.
Well, of course. I mean, you have to figure that in. I'm going to go with, I think Alexa Bliss picks up the win as well. That's who I'm going to go with. Rand?
I got to go with Charlotte.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to go piggyback onto your mainstream media. Ric Flair, good story.
I think it makes sense, and even last night it was so cool. I don't think she was in on her dad being there.
Yeah, right.
That was
a
very cool moment. It was a very genuine moment, and made proud to be a wrestling fan last night. They were watching that. That was pretty cool.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, let's talk about the big match. The world champs are going to go at it, so to speak. Brock Lesnar taking on AJ Styles.
Any idea why Jinder lost the title?
And again, I don't think that the brass was behind Jinder. Going into this match.
Did he serve his purpose on the India tour?
They haven't even done it yet.
So, yeah, I'm going to say, I think that they just, again, this is another one of those heel versus heel. Even though everybody cheers for Lesnar, he's booked as a heel. I think it's another one of those heel versus heel. I think that they've read the temperature in the room and knew that Mahal and Lesnar was not going to get the interest that it should have. They gave it a couple of weeks, but I don't think anybody was interested in that.
I liked Mahal as a champion.
I did too.
It was just his servant's purpose. I don't think he wrestled enough on SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
He had his minions wrestle for him, so that was. I don't like the storyline sometimes they had for him, but I liked him as a heel, but as a heel champion. But on the same side, I'm glad the strap's back on AJ.
Mm-hmm.
I think Daniel Bryan summed it up in his Heyman type of impersonation last night introducing him. I thought that was very cool. He nailed it right on the head. He's today's generation's best performer, and he deserved it. And I think he's going to take that to Mania, at least I would assume.
So at Mania, are we looking at a Nakamura-AJ Styles match? Because that's what I think is what we're going to be seeing in April.
If not, they're just dumb. I mean, you got to build for it. That's your, that could be your, that's your biggest match on SmackDown.
Yeah.
I mean, that could be a 30-minute match and not get boring.
Yeah. Yeah.
I completely, completely agree.
So, but yeah, but back to the match with Lesnar and AJ. Lesnar's going to beat the shit out of him.
Oh, of course.
It's going to be, you know, the whole underdog. This thing, he's going to make a couple comebacks, but Suplex City, it's over. There's no, unless somebody would interfere, and I don't see
that happening.
There's nobody coming in.
You know, I agree with you, Joey. I think that it definitely is going to be a victory for Mr. Lesnar, Rand.
It'll be a question of how long AJ survives.
Yeah, exactly.
But if I'm AJ, I don't got to put Lesnar over. You know what I'm saying? It's just that whole thing. But if anybody can make Lesnar have a great match, it's AJ.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that story of the underdog. I want to see what AJ Styles can do against him, all right? Because I don't think it's going to be an all-out squash. I think he's definitely going to get some offense in. I think that it's going to maybe even go a little bit back and forth. I don't think it's going to be, you know, a complete slaughter. With ultimately, Lesnar just...
It's going to be a fun story.
Right, it's going to be a fun story. Exactly. Now to the match that I could care less about, and that would be the match between the two mid-card champions, The Miz and Baron Corbin.
How do you not... Miz is the best on the microphone in the WWE right now.
You could make a point that Miz is the MVP of the show. The way he sets up stories.
Okay.
He's so real with his promos.
Promos are one thing, but the match I'm just not looking forward to. I mean, I just don't see where Corbin can't carry anybody through a match. The Miz has never in his career carried anybody through a match. Ever. So you have two guys that are somewhat clueless. I'm not looking forward to this match. I think it's going to be a giant train wreck.
Well, do you see something maybe happening for this match? Like maybe an interference?
So, well, to answer your question, interference, I imagine that Curtis Axel will get involved, or Bo Dallas, or whomever is in the Miz Taraj.
So you have that, but I think you need to have something else go on. I don't know what.
Well, who's going to help out Baron Corbin? The rest of Aces and Eights?
I got that reference. The only person I can think of from Aces and Eights that I want to see again is Brooke Adams.
Okay. We're allowed to kind of go say sure. raunchy things.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
Best butt in wrestling.
No? Oh, yeah.
Sure, I'll go for that. Yeah.
Alexa's close right now.
Sure.
But Brooke, she used to have, when she was doing the ECW deal, right?
Yeah, now, yeah. Uh-huh.
Extreme Exposé.
Yes, she was Extreme Exposé. Yeah, nice. Anywho, okay. Sorry. So we got off on a tangent there.
Here's to you, Brooke Adams.
You don't want to see what he just did. Go on.
Anywho. Those he are gave thumbs two up. Thumbs up. Come on now. Come on.
Those were thumbs. Okay.
Ringside Rand is a classy gentleman.
From the Golden Ghetto. We don't live that way, baby.
All right, so who do you think goes over? Is it Corbin or is it The Miz?
If it's not The Miz, I'm going to be so pissed.
All right.
Baron Corbin lost his...
briefcase.
Yeah. So they don't really have a whole lot of faith in him, yet they put him in a match, a mid-card title match. I don't see a whole lot of faith in him either.
All right, I will pick The Miz as well because just on the
sounds, I don't think any of us are winners though at this point.
No, we're not. We're not. So yeah. Okay, the battle of the tag teams, The Bar taking on the Usos. I gotta say, I'm really annoyed, and I assume from what I've seen and what I've read that it's part of the gimmick. But I hate the stupid mouthpiece in the mouth
when he gives a promo.
When he's giving a promo, Cesaro needs to stop that.
Is he selling the actual injury? Because the actual injury is pretty gruesome.
I know, but I don't know. He might be selling it, but it's just annoying.
If it's legitimate, he doesn't need to cut a promo.
Right.
Cesaro's never been at his best when he cuts a promo. But as far as the match goes, I'm going Usos.
Okay, I'm going to go with The Bar.
So am I.
Yeah. So you're going to sweep so far of Team Red.
So far, yeah. Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
I kind of see where you're going with this, but okay.
And yet, somehow, I think Team Blue is going to win out overall.
Yeah.
The reason I like the Usos is I think they're building them up to be one of the top five tag teams of all time. because of their title reigns. They keep the way that they keep pushing them. I think they'll go down. I'm not a huge fan of the Usos at times, but I think they can go down as being, I mean, I've had the championship numerous times, and I think they're going to try and do that. It makes more sense to give them the rub than it would be to give the bar, in my opinion.
I don't see enough personalities in Usos to get to the top level of tag teams.
Dude, the personality's over right now with their whole little rap gimmick and their Uso penitentiary. Like, the snowflakes out there love that, man. So, or the millennial marks, whatever you want to call it. I don't like any of them. That's a whole other story. But it's over with them, and I think that's why I think they'll get the rub. Usos.
I say the bar because I think that, again, I think that they have something to prove in regards to the fact, storyline-wise, I think this is what the why they'll go, is they have something to prove since they lost to the Shield in such a controversial manner. So that's why I think that they'll push that way.
They lost to the Shield because of interference from the other.
Right.
During the Survivor Series setup run-ins.
All right, it's time for a men's Survivor Series elimination match. You have Kurt Angle, Triple H, Braun Strowman, Finn Balor, and Samoa Joe taking on Shane McMahon, John Cena, Nakamura, Orton, and glorious Bobby Roode.
What interesting team.
They are interesting teams.
You have, legends. And then you have the new guys.
Yep. Yep.
Experienced new guys, grizzled veteran new guys, but it's the new guys. And it's crazy that all of a sudden Bobby Roode's on this team. There was 2 weeks on SmackDown where he wasn't even on TV.
Right.
And all of a sudden he's in this position.
Has he had a TV match with anybody other than Dolph?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think just Dolph. No, he's had a couple of other matches too. I can't remember against who. But
I think that's where the U.S. strap's going, by the way, after Survivor Series, in my opinion.
Oh, to Bobby Roode? That would be a great improvement.
So your time, I'm sorry, I totally interrupted. But so I was hoping we'd do this last.
Okay.
Kind of build up. Okay. No, we can do it now. We can talk about it now. I see with the direction you guys are going, Team Red, which is going to lead to SmackDown winning this.
I think you're going to see a
Strowman turn.
Oh.
And why Strowman? I don't know. I think you're going to have a turn in either way. When I was talking to somebody this today, I think you're going to see it's going to go either way. All blue or all red to that main match. And that main match, somebody's going to flip. So if it was the other way, if it was all blue, I saw a Cena turn. But now for the Raw thing, I see a Strowman turn.
I actually agree with you because this was my original idea. Jason Jordan turn on his old man. That's where I was going. But since they removed him and put in Triple H, that throws that theory right down the tubes.
I'm confused. What story? Why is he? I mean, I see it for TV, but how's that story going to play out in the match?
Yeah, exactly.
Could.
Is it setting up an angle Triple H feud for Mania? Match for Mania?
Could it?
Possibility.
Now we see Jason Jordan coming in to interfere, costing his dad the match. Going to the other show.
Or I see him maybe costing maybe Angle get eliminated.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
Accidentally.
Yes.
And at some time, are we going to see brother-in-laws go at it?
I'm sure you're going to
see that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you're going to see some really cool matchups. But I think if we go Team Red, you guys have been predicting. I think I have Strowman turn. I think he needs a fresh... I think you talk about a shake-up. I think he needs a jump.
Yeah, he does. And a new look.
Yeah. And I'm a huge Strowman fan. He's not going to get... I mean, either way, he's not going to get the belt. He's not going to put him over on Lesnar. If they go to SmackDown, I'm not going to put the title on him because it's going to go to AJ till Mania. But if you're going to do something different with him, I think that would be cool. I think it'd be fun. I think it'd be a great story. Because that's their... Because Corey's like, oh, nobody else has a monster and this, that, and the other. And I don't know. That's just my opinion on that. But I think you're going to get down to the last couple. So maybe Strowman and Shane against maybe Triple H, or maybe Triple H and whatever, or something. So I don't know how you're going to look at it, but be maybe a 2-on-1 situation or 2-on-whatever, and I think Strowman returns. That's my opinion. I'd love to hear your guys.
I'm going with Team Blue. I think SmackDown wins it because I think they just have the it just on paper it looks like they have the better mix of individuals. in terms of, you mentioned legends, Orton, Cena. I mean, you could probably throw Shane McMahon in there. He'll do some crazy ass stunt and end up, you know, making a highlight reel. Bobby Roode, Nakamura. I think that these are all, to be honest with you, pretty marquee
Joe
folks.
Hate there, bro.
I think that there's definitely a lot of firepower on that side
too, because I think it's cool to see Joe and Balor on the same team. Like I said, you see Strowman, and it's going to be fun to see Angle be Kurt Angle and then see Trips back in the ring. But anyway,
I like the SmackDown roster more on paper for this one, so it's strictly going just by that, because I think again Cena's going to rise to the occasion. Have an excellent match.
I don't think he has a problem rising to the occasion when you're engaged to Nikki Bella.
Anywho, Rand,
I'm a big Samoa Joe fan. I think he deserves more of a push.
Okay.
I think missing a couple of months of summer really hurt him.
Mm-hmm.
So you see him maybe eliminating a couple of guys from SmackDown?
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
So you're going Team Red?
Okay.
All right. Okay.
I'm Team Blue. So
I'm Blue too. All right.
By mine was because of a turn, so.
All right, let's go for the women's elimination Survivor Series match. Alicia Fox, Nia Jax, Asuka, Banks, Bayley. They're taking on Charlotte, Becky.
No, taking on probably Natalya.
Now. I'm sorry. In my notes are, they say Charlotte, sorry.
Well, we need to get the research team to do a better job, too. These guys are really slacking.
Well, first of all, if you notice, it also says, though, that it is Charlotte Flair up there, too. So clearly, CBSSports.com, you need to proofread. Because that's where I got the lineup from.
Oh, I thought you're not going to blame your research department on
that. No, I'm not. I'm going
to
let
these interns need to start picking it up.
Well, you know.
I can understand that they're late because they were caught shoplifting sunglasses in China. They should have been back by now.
Anywho. sorry, Natalya.
That was nice of our president to help him out, though, of course.
Becky Lynch, Natalya, Naomi, Carmella, and Tamina.
They finally found a way to make Alicia Fox an interesting character.
Oh, really? I still can't stand her. I'm sorry. She annoys the piss out of me.
I think her measurements are 24, 21, 22. She is one slender girl.
I don't know where to go with that one, Rand, but God, this match.
But only if she's 5'3".
I really, really, really wanted Tamina to be a great wrestler. I wanted her to be something. I've tried to be Team Tamina for a while, and she can't. And it's really annoying. But you know what we're going to see? We're going to see Tamina against Nia Jax, and they're going to, there's these big girls fighting each other. We're going to see this. Team Raw's going to win this.
Yeah, by all means.
I don't know what's going on.
Nope.
I almost see like a clean sweep. I'm not going to lie. All five are all women. No SmackDown women.
Ooh, that's bold.
I think all that's left for Team Blue will be Becky. Maybe she might pin one or two, or she'll make a big comeback because they like Becky Lynch. I like her. She's great. But maybe it might be three on one at the end or something. But it's not going to be... I think they're going to start... People are going to get eliminated. Boom.
I'm going to go with Team Raw as well on this one. I disagree with you. I don't think it's going to be a clean sweep. I think Becky Lynch eliminates a few. I wouldn't be surprised if Natalya offs one. And I wouldn't be surprised if one of the other might get a victory too and eliminate one. Probably I'm going to say Tamina because I don't see Naomi or Carmella eliminating anybody. But anyways, I think end result is you're going to have Team Raw victorious in this one.
Sure. Or if we see Paige somehow interject.
Maybe, possibly.
Good chance Paige shows up. On paper, sure doesn't look like Blue's got anything going for him.
I totally agree with you.
Yeah. How about the Shield versus the New Day?
You want me to start this one?
Sure, go right ahead.
They totally just foreshadowed everything in that interview last night, that promo.
Mm-hmm.
We've always been a brotherhood and all this stuff. If that whole thing doesn't happen with somebody turning on the... I think somebody is turning on the New Day.
Okay.
Just because of that promo. Why? I don't know. I just have a feeling. I don't think the New Day shows up on SmackDown as a team of three.
Oh.
And
Who's the turncoat? If you were going to predict, who's the turncoat?
I would, if they want to push... I can see... Woods doing it, but then Woods would have to have somebody with him because Woods wouldn't be good by himself.
Okay.
But I don't know.
I would say
the Shield's going to go over. Shield's going to win. But I think I see something like that happening because that's the whole thing. They said, and they've been together for so long, you need a little bit of change there. And I like the new day. I've always been a fan, but even they are getting kind of stale.
Brad?
My opinion.
How many years has the New Day been together?
3-4 years.
Exactly. I think this match, the buildup of this match was hurt by Roman's absence for a while.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Sure, I don't see any reason that New Day would beat the recently rejuvenized, reformed Shield.
What they did last night on SmackDown. Just, you know, the whole unity, and they beat the hell out of everybody. Like, they're back. They're not going to just put them back to lose.
Right, I agree. I agree wholeheartedly. I think the Shield wins.
Where can you get one of those special shirts?
I don't know.
You don't have a seamstress on staff?
I do not have a seamstress on staff.
You're cutting a lot of corners.
I know, man. I know. It's hard time, baby. It's hard time for
you. It's ironic that you met with the accountant today and we keep losing staff members.
I know.
That's why.
It is. Anywho, I would say I'll go the opposite way. I think if they split up New Day, I think Kofi is the one to go solo.
Oh, yeah, because he has been a successful singles wrestler.
I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, how about the pre-show matchup?
So much hate for B1.
Enzo Amore takes on Kalisto.
I think you're going to see Enzo go over somehow, but because of a Neville interference. I think Neville.
Oh, you think Neville's coming back?
I think this is a great one.
Wow. That's bold.
I know it's a bold prediction, but there's stuff to say he's going to be back. And I think that would make the most sense. And he comes and he's the one that takes the belt back from Enzo. But that's my... Either way, Enzo's going over. Kalisto, I think it was just a little flash in the pan.
I agree. I think Enzo does go over as well. I don't think that they have a lot of momentum behind Kalisto. I don't know. That whole Cruiserweight division is a complete clusterfuck. I'm not excited.
That's a way to describe it.
It is. I mean, I'm not...
But I like some of the personalities.
I do, too.
Drew Gulak. Like, he's hilarious.
I don't.
I like what he's doing with Enzo. How am I doing? I'm doing great. Like, he's like the just... I think that's funny. I like humor like that. But that's just me.
I can't imagine how much backstage heat Enzo got to be treated this way this long, where everything is pushed against him. He keeps trying. The crowd loves him.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's monster heat. I got to be honest. I didn't catch that. I did not catch that with Drew Gulak the other night there with Enzo.
The whole thing he's been doing because... How am I doing? I'm doing great.
I've missed that, so I may change my tune on that. But like, I feel like Cedric Alexander, awesome wrestler, got some personality, but nothing. They got nothing going on with him.
My whole thing is, what they can take him and Rich Swann out of 205 Live and make that tag team and put them as a tag team on Raw.
Sure, I agree with that. That would be awesome.
Because I think he doesn't need to be in 205 Live anymore.
And they ruined Jack Gallagher. Like, I don't like heel Jack Gallagher. I have weird tights, and I'm very pasty, and I'm the athletic guy. Like,
I look like I'm related to Jeremy Madrox, yeah.
Yeah, well, you said it, not me.
Sorry.
Okay.
I mean, they both were kind of pasty like that one time. I had similar mustaches.
Okay.
I'm just saying.
Okay. He'll know where to find you.
Okay.
Okay. Anyways, Rand. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I gotta get the shovel and dig my way out of this one.
You're not down in the hole with him.
Okay.
You're on stable ground.
I just don't see the excitement in the crowd from the 205 wrestlers on SmackDown.
Well, yeah, and I think we've talked about that. You know, there's just too much when they record and when they tape 205 or they do it live. Excuse me, when they do it live. I mean, but it's essentially, if you want to call it recorded, I mean, it's done after SmackDown. That's 4 hours of wrestling that you're sitting through.
That's a shame because they do have some really good athletes.
They do. They do.
And they're guys that, yeah, so.
Would benefit if they had an NXT set up for just 205 Live.
I agree with that.
So, speaking of NXT, shall we run down TakeOver, which is happening on the 18th, which is the Saturday, this Saturday, excuse me, and the night before Royal Rumble. So let's start with the main event. They're bringing back War Games, baby. What are you guys thinking about War Games?
How long has it been since we've seen War Games?
Ugh.
25?
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen War Games.
My favorite War Games moment. Sorry, I'm going to go off script again.
Go ahead.
Sid Vicious, Brian Pillman, up against the top of the cage.
Yes.
Oh, my God. That always, like, I thought that was the coolest thing, and that really re-energized me when I was younger. Like, I really like this thing called pro wrestling because of the brutality of War Games. And War Games could be so much fun, and I hope they do it right, and it's retro's cool, and they got Starrcade, which should be on the WWE Network. It's not, which is dumb. But this whole War Games thing, and they got the right people in it. I mean, you got...
Well, you have Sanity, you have the Authors of Pain and Roderick Strong and Undisputed Era, which is, of course, O'Reilly, Fish, and Cole. My question is this, and I'm going to be very honest. I have not caught up with NXT. I'm way behind. Haven't watched it probably in about a month, month and a half. So have they been building this feud? Because to me, it seems like, hey, this is what happened at the last TakeOver. You know, we had these teams competing and then interference and, oh, okay, we're going to throw Roderick Strong in there and there you go.
Well, and plus too, I mean, Roderick Strong, it kind of makes sense because he's going to kind of complement these other people that are in the match.
He's sure.
With a lot of those guys.
Right,
so
sure,
it's going to make it a little bit easier. I'm excited for this personally. Unfortunately, I have to work Saturday night, but I'm definitely going to go back and watch this. But if they don't put the gentleman formerly of Ring of Honor over in this match, and that whole gimmick's dead.
Oh, I agree.
So they'll have to go over. Do we see somebody new for this match?
I don't know. Is there anyone on the radar that I'm aware? There's no one I'm aware of that's on the radar that might make an appearance.
Can't be Leo Rush. He's too busy making jokes on Twitter about.
Right. Exactly.
TNA's had more cutbacks than we've had. There seems to be 10 to 15 people out there right now.
True.
It's hard to say who could show up. I got to go with Insanity, though. That's my pick for the match.
Well, I think it's going to be an interesting match. Like I said, you don't have any idea how they built this. Have they been building this over the last couple of weeks? Because that's the question.
Well, they were doing those NWO beatdown type of things.
Okay.
With Cole and all, you know.
And all those guys. Yeah. Okay.
So they've been kind of building up to that. And then they've had these feuds, but I think it'd just be cool that I'm just happy to see War Games back.
Sure, yeah. So that'll certainly.
Will we see Night of the Skywalkers next?
I hope so. That would be awesome. I doubt it. Or how about the triple doom of the triple
cage
of doom?
Was that Dusty too, or no?
That was Kansas City pay per view.
It was the cage on top of the cage on top of the cage, and you had to work your way
cage
up.
Worked,
yeah.
No, I'm talking about that the one that where Hogan and Savage had to go against the Dungeon of Doom. That was a triple cage, too, if you remember.
Oh, yeah, it was.
The other one. The page one, which that was in that Ready to Rumble movie.
Mm-hmm.
It was the same. They were just working together.
Which, actually, the truth is, that actually debuted several years prior to World Class. World Class actually had the cage on top of the cage on top of the cage. I think it's the final David Von Erich Memorial show at Texas Stadium. That I think drew like 4,700 people. Anyways.
At Texas Stadium.
Then we have Drew McIntyre defending the NXT title against Cien Almas.
I don't want to give my opinion on this. I don't like Cien.
I don't like Cien either. Same here. I have never liked him anyways. I'm not a big Drew McIntyre fan either. This match probably, to me, won't have my attention unless Almas gives the same performance he gave against Johnny Gargano. I'm not going to be interested in.
I would agree with that, but I like Drew McIntyre. I can kind of see his appeal, but once they took a hood off of CN and brought him in and did NXT, it's just been rough. I've not been a fan, and I'd probably take a lot of slack because people out there that really like him, he's dry to me.
Yeah. And even pairing him up with the new girl. Nah, still not interested.
I've always been a Drew McIntyre guy.
He's the chosen one.
Well, I'm going to say he goes over and retains the title.
I think that's fair to say.
Rand?
I think he keeps it too. If he were to lose it, could he have been brought up to the main roster?
I wouldn't bring him up just yet.
And I wouldn't put the belt on Almas.
No.
No. Ugh. No. All right, next, the Velveteen Dream is going to take on Aleister Black.
Oh, you got to go with Aleister Black.
Aleister Black is going to knock the shit out of the Velveteen Dream.
But He's come a long way, man. That kid's been great since Tough Enough.
Yeah, I agree.
He's got great personality.
Yeah, he does.
He's 100% into the gimmick.
Like, yes.
He is all about that gimmick, and he does such a good job, and I really enjoyed watching him. But yeah, Aleister Black goes over, I'd almost say, a semi-squash.
I go with Black in a quick match.
Same here. I don't think there's much doubt that he goes over. And you talk about somebody you want to groom for that future title shot. There you go. I think he's the, right now, when you look at the roster, he's one of the few, him and Adam Cole are the only two that make sense to go for that NXT title.
I think Adam Cole, baby, takes it over in the next, no pun intended, 3 to 6 months.
All right. Cassius Ohno is going to take on Lars Sullivan.
That's going to be a weird match.
I think so too.
Lars is going to obviously go over. Cassius is going to put him over because, well, you know how old Cassius is. Poor guy's been around forever. Always been a mark for him. But they're trying to build this Lars character.
Yep.
And it's taken a while for them to get there with him. And they want to keep the momentum going. So Lars is going to definitely go over.
I agree too. And Lars Sullivan, a big giant guy. You know, a McMahon type of guy, if you will. He's big and strong and just jacked beyond belief. And, you know,
Biden Reich 2.0 kind of thing.
Yeah. I'm glad you mentioned that. He does kind of have a...
I miss the Biden Reich poems. No, you did the poems, right? And then what was the guy that wasn't his fault?
Snitsky,
yes.
I love that tag team.
Oh, jeez.
How weird. I like the book. That book weird shit.
All right. And then we also have the ladies will be in action. And the winner, I believe, if I remember correctly, gets the NXT women's title. We have Ember Moon taking on Peyton Royce, taking on Nikki Cross, taking on Kairi Sane. Now, as we all pause there and have an awkward moment of silence, I think we're all thinking the same thing, maybe. I got to say, out of all of these, I would like to see Peyton Royce win, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think Kairi Sane goes over and is your new NXT champion because she has all the momentum from winning the Mae Young tournament, and I think they just keep them, you know, keep it going.
I agree with you there 100%, but for sheer perverted male that I am, I would like to see it on Peyton Royce just because, look at that picture.
She's a very pretty young lady.
I mean, ringside?
Oh, thumbs up.
And that belt looks good on her. I mean, I've always been a fan.
Yeah.
I think Bridget might have slapped me when they were down here at the Arnold, and I was checking out maybe a little bit too much.
Yeah. But, Billie Kay is an attractive woman too, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. I'm team Peyton with the iconic duo. But
is it because she was trained by Lance Storm too?
I really don't care. She could have been trained by Bastion Booger at this point. I doesn't matter to me. That's not where the attraction's at. But your girl that won the tournament
is Kairi Sane.
She's going to get the booty since she has that pirate gimmick. You like that tie-in?
I like that. That was good. Very well done, Joey.
She's going to win the booty, and she's going to be your new NXT Women's Champion.
Which I don't understand the whole, like the whole yachting thing. Like, I don't get that gimmick. I mean, it's weird. It just, I don't know.
There was a lot of weird gimmicks in that tournament, and I'm just upset they never signed a full time my girl Maya Yim.
Oh, okay.
That's who I want to see for other purposes, I think, too. But she's a great worker. Like, there's some of these girls that were in that tournament, I don't know why they didn't get signed.
Yeah, I agree. And then there was a couple that I was wondering, why are they signed?
Yeah, I totally agree with you on that.
Yeah, there was a couple I'm like, what the...
I think this is kind of like a reset, though, so she's going to go over, and I think you're going to see like a shift and a reset in the women's division.
Sure.
Hopefully for the better, because they need to start building these again, because they took all the talent, brought it all up.
Exactly.
They need to start from scratch, so I think this is a nice reset maybe, too.
Yeah.
How many NXT women are there?
Well, you have Royce and Kay, you have Kairi Sane, you have...
Ruby Riott.
You have Abby Lath. Who is the African American girl? Bianca, the one that uses her hair as a weapon, and it was the most stupid, idiotic gimmick in the. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I can't
remember her name. Bianca something.
I'm a fan of Ember Moon too. I think I like.
I'm not.
I know you're not. We discussed this last time. But see, I don't think there's a number because you don't know who's signed and who's not signed. That's why I think this is kind of a reset, so you can kind of work towards and get the whole women's roster. I don't know why Rachel Ellering and Tessa Blanchard aren't signed full-time NXT.
Right, right, exactly.
Simply because of the names.
Yeah.
But Miss Blanchard is a hell of a worker.
Or even, now the name escapes me. She was in the finals with Sane. I can't remember her name now.
What a great podcast.
Oh, Shayna... is it Bowsler?
Bowsler.
Why was she signed? I mean,
I thought she was wanting because she has that MMA type.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. So I don't know.
I think there's some people might still get signed. This is kind of like a reset leading up.
But I think Kairi Sane goes over. I mean, I think that's the way that they're going to go. All right.
I agree with you, 100%.
Well, gentlemen, it'll be interesting to see what happens here, and you both will have to come back on so we can do a little recap like we did with SummerSlam. Notice I haven't messed up this whole episode.
That's very good. Are we wrapping this up right now?
I think we're getting ready. It's about 45 minutes in here.
Can I just bring up one topic?
Sure, you can bring up. Sure, go ahead.
And I just we've been talking about War Games. You talk about the Starrcade. You're talking about, you know, all the 80s, NWA, WCW, going into that. And one of my favorite wrestlers... just been on my mind lately for some reasons, Arn Anderson. I've been on the network looking, just typing Arn Anderson, looking. The Spine Buster, man, his Spine Buster, DDT, awesome. He's teamed with a bunch of people. What's the best tag team he was in? Who was his best tag team partner?
Ooh.
I've been wanting to ask you guys this question because it's been running around. You know, you have
Tully. No, Tully. Hands down. For me.
You have Ollie. You have Bobby Eaton. So you would say hands down?
Hands down. Tully Blanchard. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go with that. At the height of the Horsemen, Arn and Tully had the title.
I really like the Dangerous Alliance with Arn and Bobby Eaton.
Yeah, right. I mean,
that's... You talk about two tag team wrestlers that complement each other, and if anybody wants to go back and wants to watch some tag team wrestling and watch those guys, like, you want to go back and study, want to be a tag team wrestler, like, watching those guys do their thing, and then they put them together, two of the best tag team wrestlers of all time.
And, who you normally put with other people.
Right. Yeah. But now they're on the same team. And I don't know. For some reason, I was actually before... See, I found valet. So before they parked my car and I walked in here and headed to makeup, that's been on my mind the whole time. Sitting here thinking, what... And I just kind of wanted to bring it up to you guys.
I say totally just because of this. Because not that Eaton and Arn were not a great tag team and they were phenomenal. But the heat factor. Like, Tully and Arn were just so... damn despised by fans.
So was Arn and Ole.
Yeah, but I say the heat level even went up even a bigger notch because even though Ole, and don't get me wrong, Ole's heat was because I feel he got heat because he was a mean son of a bitch.
That was his life, yeah.
Right. I think Arn and Tully got more heat because they were the cocky. They knew they were goddamn good, and they were cocky about it. They would throw it up in your face. And to me, I think that's a different level of heat that they got than Ole and Arn.
I think the entire Horseman got the heat.
Which we'll have to talk about on the next podcast. Because Mr. Orlando hasn't got a chance to watch the 30 for 30. So maybe we can kind of just give that a quick rundown then. And
we can. There you go.
About the Horsemen.
There you go.
But that's one thing. That's what kind of rejuvenated me. Like, I love Flair, but wherever there's Flair, there's Arn.
Right.
Wherever there's Arn, there's Flair. And, you know, I think he's one of the... He never gets the rub. He should get... I think he needs to be individually put into the Hall of Fame. And I don't know. I just kind of got fired up about that, and I wanted to ask your guys' opinion. I feel the same, though. Totally an Arn, without a shadow of a doubt. But Arn and Bobby just doesn't get
it. And here, I'll give one other little indication why I say Arn and Tully, because it was big news when they went to the WWF.
Oh, huge.
When they were the Brainbusters. I lost my shit when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, like, to me, that was a big, big deal. So, you know, there you go.
I liked Arn and Larry. I'm a huge Zabisco Bart fan. I love Zabisco. He's funny.
No,
if you could ever have anybody on the podcast, he would be a great interview.
He would. He was a great wrestler. Terrible commentator, though.
He was terrible, but he was still fun.
I don't know. He was terrible. But I do dig Larry Zbysko. AWA stuff was great. His interviews with Larry Nelson in the back, phenomenal.
Sorry for some of you snowflakes out there. Might be bringing up some names you don't understand. Google it. Look it up on the WWE Network.
There you go.
YouTube it.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, you can type in anybody's name and the word shoot on YouTube. You'll come up with dozens.
You
know
what? I think, Rand, you asked the question about what do we use the network for the most. I think you tweeted that out or texted that out to us.
Other than pay-per-views, what do we watch on the network?
Old shit. So I would just get on a binge of I'll watch some ECW, then it's Smoky Mountain, then we're going back over to World Class, then, you know, we're hitting AWA. There's even a few that I haven't tackled yet because there's only like two or three episodes on there. Like, I think there's a couple of GWF episodes on there that I'm like, I'll get to those later because there's only like three as of the last time I looked. I mean, you know, and I'll hit a little Mid-South as well.
You're going to make fun of me. I get on there. I watch the original programming. I like Run-Along. I like their, you know, the different... I love story time.
I have not
listened to Jake Roberts just talk forever.
You know what? But no, I won't hate on that because I watched the two seasons of what was the show with Dolph Ziggler where they pranked people? What was that called?
I don't know. Swerved. It was funny.
Swerved. Thank you.
It was hilarious.
It was good. A lot of it was really funny. Holy Foley was not very good. I tried to give that a couple episodes and it was bad. And I just, you know.
Even
Noel could not save it. No.
Good follow on Instagram.
Yeah.
Noel Foley. Yeah.
Yeah, most definitely. I'll give that.
And before you sign off, can I dedicate the show to somebody for me? can I do that?
Sure, Casey Kasem.
Okay. I want to send out a rest in peace to one of my favorite female entertainers of all time, Shiloh Styles.
Yeah?
Did you know that?
She died?
Yeah, this past week.
No. Get out of town. I mean,
you might want to use the Google machine for that one if you don't know who that is. Ringstar, are you familiar with her work?
No, and my wife is listening.
Okay, you know, no idea who that is. Okay. So, anyways.
If you are Googling that, by the way, people, make sure you're not doing it at work.
Or in a library.
Well.
If you're doing it, make sure you have the volume turned way down.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. I was unaware. Really?
Yeah, I got.
You got a text alert, didn't you? You got an alert.
About it, yeah. Hey.
Is there like a porn app that lets you know when things
are going? You just kind of dropped what it was there by saying that, but I was just going to say. A very close personal friend of mine, the hedgehog, Ron Jeremy, posted the condolences.
Okay. First of all,
I want to dedicate the show, and it was a lot of fun, to a great female performer that she was.
Okay. First of all, I'm not making light of the fact that she passed away. I'm just making light of the fact that you just got a text about it or a tweet about it.
Why is that funny?
I don't know. I don't know why that struck me as odd, Joey, but it just did.
I like to stay up on all forms of entertainment. I think we should maybe do a podcast about that. You probably can't.
I don't know about that.
Maybe we can put on masks and we'll change our voices. We'll do a podcast about it.
We'll have translators.
Trannies are really big in that industry. So,
anyways.
She was 35 years old. Rest in peace, Shiloh.
Wow. Okay. Well, there you go.
Any idea how it happened?
She was a Hall of Famer, by the way.
Not a WWE Hall of Famer.
No. Her industry.
Sure.
I just don't know. Is there like a physical Hall of Fame that you can go to see this?
I don't know. I have no idea.
There isn't for WWE.
British Columbia native. Right there. Since I have to show the picture to Ringside because he's not familiar with any of this. He doesn't know anything that's going on with her. But, yeah. I mean, I wish I'd have had some audio queued up.
No, that's okay. That's all right. Never mind. Anyways, Rand, where are you on the internet?
Usually in my living room.
No, I meant where can people find you on Twitter or Facebook or whatnot?
Twitter at Rand Dittmar.
All right.
RANDDITTMAR.
Well, Ringside, he's so private. He leads such a important, exquisite life. That he does all of his through a computer because he can't afford to have a smartphone hacked. So that's why he doesn't do that. Me, though, I'm not that important, but you can find me on Twitter at DJ Joey Blaze, on the Instagrams at DJ Joey Blaze. I'm thinking about bringing an old gimmick back just because so many people are so sensitive. Maybe we can talk about that the next podcast.
What gimmick?
We can talk about that a little bit later
on. Okay. Is this a Colonel De Beers gimmick?
Yeah.
Really?
And just bring back the name. You know, we got to leave a little cliffhanger.
A tease, as they call it in the industry.
In the industry.
All right. Well, then we'll talk about this controversial gimmick next time around when you gentlemen come back on.
Everybody's so politically correct. I feel like being not politically correct.
Okay. Well, there you go. Ladies and gentlemen, you have something to look forward to. When these two gentlemen return, here soon, and we give the actual review of the show, SummerSlam. Excuse me, oh, Survivor Slam. Survivor Series.
We're going to go down and watch some Survivor Slam.
God damn it. Anyways, Ryan.
And by the way, there were no mentions of Antisocial Kim on this podcast at all.
You got heat for me. Thanks, Ryan. Appreciate it. All right, with that, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up this episode.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. DJ Joey Blaze, Ringside Rand, and myself sitting down, talking about the Survivor Series, making some predictions, talking about what we're looking forward to on the pay-per-view, which, of course, is this Sunday, November 19th, only on the WWE Network. And I'm going to invite those guys back, as I mentioned at the end of the episode, for them to come back on in a couple of weeks, and we'll take a look at what we predicted and see what happened at the pay-per-view and kind of do a little review episode, if you will, just like we did with SummerSlam. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, maybe you want to get in touch with me and tell me that I'm full of hot air with some of the stuff that I talked about, some of the predictions I made for Survivor Series. Well, you can do that by shooting me an email, johnorlando@pvdcast.com, or you can find me on Twitter @pvdmvp. You can drop me a line over on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, is facebook.com/PVDcast. And don't forget, you can get this wonderful podcast 7 different ways. Obviously, the easiest is PVDcast.com, the online home of yours truly. But you can also get it through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, SoundCloud, Pod Paradise, and the Echo Network. So select whatever way is easiest for you. And with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to wrap up this episode, so I will chat at each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous and stay independent.